Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm Dustin Roberts, the outreach minister here on staff. And for the next 25 minutes, I'll also be your host as Rabbi Schneider sheds some light on messianic prophecy. Prophecy can be a little confusing at times, and that's why Rabbi is so excited to bring you this message today. It's titled, The Ultimate Mediator, and we'll be learning why all paths do not lead to heaven. Now, that's not a very popular or politically correct statement these days, but it's true. And we're going to learn more about that right now. Rabbi Schneider is in the book of Genesis chapter 22, and then he'll be turning to John chapter 11. So let's get started.
Baruch Hashem, beloved ones, bless the name of the Lord. And I've been talking about the fact that messianic prophecy comes in many shades and colors. I'm talking about types and shadows in the Hebrew Bible and how Yeshua fulfills Israel's history by living out their same history in his own life and ministry. Today, we're going to begin by looking at the concept of messianic prophecy being fulfilled to what I call the principle of a mediator. Again, much of messianic prophecy is not about Jesus fulfilling some long-awaited future prediction, but rather much of messianic prophecy is about how Yeshua filled Israel's past history up with meaning. When we look at the way that the Lord was able to relate to his people, Israel, he did it through a mediator. He did it through the priesthood. In other words, an individual Israelite could not just offer their own sacrifice anywhere. They had to bring their sacrifice to a Levitical priest, and the priest could not just offer the sacrifice anywhere. He had to offer the sacrifice in the temple. Now, this is important to understand in our culture today, because we're living in a culture that is putting a lot of pressure on believers to conform to political correctness. Political religious correctness is to take a posture that basically says, you know what, Jesus is good for me, but I'm not insisting that you need to believe in Jesus. That's the attitude of political correctness, that my faith is no better than your faith, although it's a completely different kind of faith in another world leader or some type of Eastern religion. That path is just the same as my own. You're just taking a different way. That's political correctness. But the Bible is very exclusive. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, that I'm the Messiah, that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. My point is that when you understand how Yeshua fulfilled messianic prophecy, and when you then look at the claims of Jesus, you're not going to be able to take a position like that, because you're going to know either Jesus is the only way or he's no way at all, because he claimed to be the only way. He's either who he said he was, he's crazy, or he was a liar, as C.S. Lewis said, liar, lunatic, or Lord. Messianic prophecy grounds us to believe, yes, he is who he said he is, because it's obvious that the one God is the God of the Jewish people. When you look at Israel, when you look at the supernatural quality of the nation of Israel, of the amount of Nobel Prizes that Jewish people have won, the amount of medical breakthroughs, scientific breakthroughs, how they've risen to the top of every field, and you look at the fact that they're only 1/5 of 1% of the world's population, how can you explain that? Other people groups have come and gone. The Babylonians have come and gone. The Persians have come and gone. And I could go on and on and on. But the Jewish people are still here today in their own nation, speaking Hebrew. And so the fact that this has happened shows us that what the Bible tells us about the God of Israel and about the Jewish people is true. And what the Bible tells us is that the Messiah of the Jewish people is Jesus. Even though right now, traditional Judaism rejects him, We're going to find out that the Hebrew Bible predicted that as well, that they predicted that they would. So when you see how Yeshua fulfills the messianic prophecies of the Hebrew Bible, knowing that the God of the Hebrew Bible is the one true God, it will give you faith to be able to stand with Jesus and to be able to say He is the only way to God, even when there's so much cultural oppression against your position. Beloved, we can't back down. The Bible says we need to hold on to our confidence. And if we endure with our confidence, there's a great reward for us. But the scripture also says, to him whose soul shrinks back, the Lord says, I have no delight in him. And so my prayer for you is that this study on messianic prophecy will gird you, will strengthen you, will give you the spiritual equipment that you need to stand as a bold and a strong witness, even when most of the culture tells you that you have no right to claim that Jesus is the only way. I'm talking about the principle, getting back to my point, of a mediator. In the Hebrew Bible, anybody could not just come to God any way they wanted to. They could not just present their own sacrifice anywhere they wanted to. They had to present their sacrifice to the one true God, the God of Israel, through the mediator of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And when people just offered sacrifices any way they wanted to, any place they wanted to, judgment came upon them. And so Yeshua fulfills this concept of the mediator, because the scripture says in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, that there is one mediator now between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In other words, Israel, who is a shadow of how all humanity can relate to God, could only relate to Hashem, to the Creator, through a mediator. I want to really stress this today, because we're living in a culture that believes that anybody can come to God their own way. But what the New Testament teaches and what the Hebrew Bible showed us is that we can't all just come our own way. We have to come through a mediator. In the Hebrew Bible, the Lord told the children of Israel to build a tabernacle, a mishkan. And all around the mishkan, there were walls. And there was only one way to enter the mishkan, where the presence of the Lord dwelt. And it was a door. And Yeshua said, I am that door into the mishkan, into the temple that led ultimately to the priest going to be able to go for you into the Holy of Holies. There was only one door in, and Yeshua said, I am the door. Beloved, Yeshua is the mediator. If people wanted to meet with God in the Hebrew Bible, they had to come to the Mishkan. They had to come to the tabernacle. They had to come to the temple. They had to present their offering through a priest. It had to be a blood sacrifice if people could afford the animal. And so it is in the person of Yeshua. He is prophetically fulfilling all those types and all those shadows. So again, to a culture that is teaching that everybody has their own path to God. One believes in Jesus. One believes in Muhammad. One believes in the New Age. One believes in some guru. One believes in some rabbi. They're all the same. Everybody has their choice. They're all leading to the same place. We say emphatically, no, no, no. Yeshua said, I am the way. He that enters through me shall be saved. He that tries to come in another way is a thief and a robber and will be cast out. The Hebrew Bible taught us the principle that there needs to be a mediator. The priesthood was the mediator, and that the sacrifices had to be offered by the Levitical priests, the mediators, in the temple. So too Yeshua fills these two shadows up with meaning by saying, I have become the ultimate mediator. The Levitical priesthood is fulfilled in me. This is, by the way, what the book of Hebrews, beloved ones, in the New Testament is all about. How Yeshua fulfills the Levitical priesthood. How he fulfills the blood sacrifices. And finally, in relation to this, Yeshua said, as he pointed to the temple, to his hearers, 2,000 years ago, he said, you see the temple, he said, it's going to be destroyed, he said, and I'm going to rebuild it. And they said, this man thinks he can rebuild the temple in 3 days? And the scripture says they didn't realize that when Yeshua said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it, they didn't realize that Yeshua was talking about his own body. The Yeshua has become the temple. He has become the place. He has become the person. He has become the one that we must go to and go into if we're going to have fellowship with Hashem, with Father God. Even as Israel of old had to come to the temple 3 times a year during the pilgrim feast to meet with Hashem, to offer their sacrifices there, to have fellowship with them. Even as the children of Israel came to the ancient temple, which has now been destroyed, and it's been destroyed for about 2,000 years. So too now, in order to have fellowship, we need to come, not to bricks and stone, but to the one who is the temple, in the spirit, Yeshua HaMashiach, beloved.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back.
Over the last few decades, God's people have come to associate the rainbow with the LGBTQ community. But are we more conformed to the world than God's word? Revelation 4 tells us, "And there was a rainbow around God's throne." This July 28th through the 30th, join Rabbi Schneider as he leads a movement across the globe to take the rainbow back. Visit takingtherainbowback.com.
Thank you for remembering that Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a listener-supported ministry. Rabbi Schneider's teachings are made possible through the generous gifts from people like you who understand the importance of sharing the good news of Jesus' return. Because of you, we are changing lives all over the world. Give online by visiting discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call 800-777-7835. And now, let's get back to Rabbi's message.
Now, one of my favorite messianic foreshadows in the Hebrew Bible is the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, the Ha'akedah, the binding of Isaac. We read about it in Bereshit or Genesis chapter 22. And I want to point out several themes in this biblically epic story that point to and are fulfilled in Father God and in Yeshua. First of all, I'd like to point out that oftentimes when we look at the story of Abraham offering up Isaac, his only son, and we think about that story, the hero of the story in many of our minds, first of all, is Abraham, who in complete obedience offered up his only son, Isaac, to Father God, an act of total dedication, an act of total surrender. And this is where the story begins. Even as Abraham withheld nothing, so Father God withheld nothing, and he sent to us his only son. But I want to share with you now another layer to the story that perhaps some of us have not considered. When you and I have seen portraits or pictures of this event where Abraham offers up Isaac as a sacrifice, the paintings or the portraits, the prints that we've seen, usually show Isaac as a young boy, maybe 11 years old or less. But did you know, beloved ones, according to Rabbinic Judaism, when Abraham offered up his son Yitzhak, Isaac was actually, listen, not a little boy, but rather he was 37 years old. And when you consider that Isaac, a full-grown man of 37 years old, willingly laid on the wood to be offered up to the God of Israel as a sacrifice, about to lose his life in obedience and in trust, when you consider that Isaac willingly did that at 37 years old, you can see how Isaac is also the hero of the story. And so you think about Isaac's total willingness to give his life unto his father at his father's direction. You can see there Jesus himself foreshadowed in Isaac, how like Isaac, who willingly offered up his life to the father in obedience, his father being Abraham, so too Yeshua, a full-grown man at 33 years old, willingly offered his life on the execution stake to be put to death for our sins in obedience to the Father. It's also very critical to understand that according to rabbinic tradition, this act, the binding of Isaac, It opened up a channel for God's grace to come to all of Israel's future generations. The rabbinic teaching is that before the Akedah, before the binding of Isaac, God's grace was shut off from the world in a very significant way. But Abraham's act of obedience and Isaac's act of surrender opened up a channel in spiritual space for the grace of God to now flood the earth and to come into the nation of Israel. You see, this concept of an innocent one dying for the guilty and through the innocent one's death, atonement is made, is very much a part of the rabbinic tradition. And we see this evidenced in the Brichat Hashah in the New Testament. The concept of a righteous man, a tzaddik, dying in the place of the guilty has for many, many ages been in the mindset of rabbinic Judaism. And we see this evidenced even in the Brichat Hashah, even in the New Testament, in John chapter 11. I'm going to go there with you now, and you're going to see how this rabbinic mindset of how a righteous tzaddik, a righteous man who dies in the place of the guilty of the nation, in the account that we just looked at, it was Isaac dying in the place of Israel. Even though Isaac didn't actually die, he was willing to die, and Abraham was willing to surrender him. So God counted it as if Isaac did die. And in that, a channel of God's grace was opened up to all of Israel's future generations. We see this same mindset, this same type of rabbinic thinking in the Brichat Hashah, in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse number 49. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Hear the word of God. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you," listen to this now, "that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish." Now, he did not say this on his own initiative, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua was going to die for the nation. So do you understand this concept? This concept that a tzaddik, a righteous man, could die on behalf of the nation, that a righteous man's death atoned for the people. We see this, first of all, in the binding of Isaac, because even though Isaac didn't actually die, because they were both willing, Abraham and Isaac, to go through with the act, Hashem, God, counted it as if it did happen. And as a result of this, the rabbinic mindset has been that when this happened, a channel of God's grace opened up to the entire nation of Israel. And in fact, they teach that the grace of God was shut off until this event, the binding of Isaac. And in a similar way, where we see a righteous one getting ready to die for the people of Israel and the whole world, we see the high priest prophesying the same concept that we just read in John 11, where he was saying to the other priest, "You guys don't know anything. You don't understand. It's expedient that one man," meaning Yeshua, "die in behalf of the whole nation so that the whole nation doesn't have to perish." The concept, beloved, in rabbinic Judaism and in the Torah of how one man can die for a whole nation, for a whole people, in Yeshua's case, for the whole world. It's called propitiatory sacrificial atonement. An innocent one could die in the place of the guilty, and by virtue of that, the guilty are made righteous. You see, beloved, messianic prophecy is ultimately about how King Jesus fulfills the entire Torah, and beyond the Torah, the Psalms and the prophets as well.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider, and we've been learning more about messianic prophecy. If you've missed any of these messages, you can always catch up with us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com, or if you have some extra time today, we'd love for you to discover some of the stories from people all over the world who are being called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus. You can explore these God moments for yourself when you visit our YouTube channel online. And then as God leads you, pray about how you can serve the Lord and your fellow co-listeners in a more meaningful way this year. And to share a little bit more about that, here is Rabbi Schneider once again.
Beloved, I hope you were blessed and encouraged by today's broadcast. The Bible tells us in the book of 3 John chapter 1, verse 8, that we should financially support the ministries that are feeding us spiritually. And in so doing, John says, we'll become fellow workers with the truth. I want to encourage you. If the Lord is bearing witness with your heart to support us, would you just be obedient to Him? The Scripture tells us that everything we sow into the kingdom of God for the purpose of extending God's kingdom in the world is going to come back to us, pressed down, good measure, and running over into our laps. And I also believe that when you financially support us, the Lord's going to open up your heart to receive even more revelation from Him through discovering the Jewish Jesus. Beloved, you and I truly are partners together. Without you, I can't broadcast. I want to thank you for your love and for your financial support. If you feel the Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart to make an offering to the Lord through discovering the Jewish Jesus today, just do it, beloved. You'll be blessed.
If you feel God calling you to partner with us, then we would love to hear from you right now. Give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or give over the phone by dialing 800-777-7835. You can also give by text when you type the keyword rabbi to the number 45777. That's the keyword rabbi to the number 45777. And then just follow the easy instructions on your screen. As our way of saying tada rabah, that's the Hebrew way of saying thank you. For your generous gifts, we'll send you our most recent newsletter that's filled with special insights and updates. And we'll also send you Rabbi's latest audio message of the month. And then, before we go, don't forget that if you'd like to learn more about all the messianic prophecies, or if you'd like to take your studies of the Old Testament deeper, you can do that by visiting our website. You'll find a variety of resources available, like Rabbi Schneider's latest articles, his daily devotionals, and he even has a treasury of books to choose from, like Messianic Prophecy Revealed, and so much more, and that's a perfect complement to this study. To find what's available for you, just visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And if you'd like to connect with us today and share your story, feel free to send us a card or a letter in the mail. When you write to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan, 49228. And right now, let's close our program with a special blessing. Here is Rabbi Schneider.
In the Old Testament book of Numbers, we find a blessing God speaks over His children through Moses and Aaron. It carries the idea of favor and expression. Open your heart to the Spirit and the Word today and receive Father's goodness into your life with confidence.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance. And the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when Rabbi Schneider explains how we can hide in the shadows of Messiah Jesus. That's Tuesday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.